I want to thank all the labor unions here in Dane County that help keep SlysOffice.com up and going so you keep up to date. Whether it be the Madison Firefighters, Local 311, or the Madison Teamsters, Local 695, or our friends at Madison Teachers Incorporated. These are some of the most active local unions who organize, and constantly stand up for workers. Thank you from SlysOffice.com.
When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Welcome to another podcast. It's SlysOffice.com, brought to you by our friends at the Operating Engineers, Madison Teamsters, Local 695, Madison Teachers Incorporated, and Madison Firefighters, Local 311. Joining us now, the Organizing Director for the Operating Engineers, Local 139, Mike Irvin, who is in Pewaukee this morning as we record this podcast. Good morning, Mike.
Hi, Sly. How are you doing today?
Well, I'm good because I'm seeing a pretty good victory on your part. Explain.
Yeah, it was a good win for the operating engineers, and actually, more importantly, it was a good win for the workers of Sunbelt Rentals at the Franksville facility. We have signed a contract effective October 1st, 2020, a two-year contract for the bargaining unit employees at the Franksville location.
And explain where Franksville is.
Franksville is pretty much, it's just a little north of Racine, not quite halfway between Racine and Milwaukee. So it's down in the southeastern part of the state. And there's a lot of work going on down there, so we're hoping that we could really push work for them and show them how important it is to have a good partnership with the operating engineers and how beneficial it can be.
All right. So explain what these employees do and the company who employs them and how this whole thing came to fruition.
So, well, the employees there are either the truck drivers and or mechanics at Sunbelt Rentals in the Franksville location. That they're an equipment rental barn where they rent out anywhere from small lifts to big lifts, construction equipment to contractors and private people for getting their jobs done. And we're excited that, like I said, we do have a two-year contract with them, and we're hoping to grow their market. To show them that being with the operating engineers is a benefit. It's a partnership that they will hopefully soon realize that is a good partnership and a beneficial partnership. This whole thing goes back about 3 years ago now. Back in October of 2017, we started talking to some of the drivers and mechanics there that were interested, and we had that election that was on March 6th of 2018. On March 13th, it was certified. We won 7-0. And in the process, because of us winning that, they were supposed to bargain in good faith with us for a year, and we were hoping that that was going to happen, but that did not happen. Unfortunately, also in the process, they were letting guys go. They're union sympathizers, and they're letting the people go, and we're fighting for them just like we're going to fight for any working man and women in this state. And after everything was said and done, last year on August 8th, 2019, they informed us that the shop was going to be reorganized into a will call only, meaning that you would just come in and say, hey, I need this tool, I need that, small equipment stuff, and they would no longer need our mechanics services that were there. At that point, the operating engineers with our legal team filed a few unfair labor practices against that, and we went to court over the winter.
Now, is this with the NLRB?
Yes, yep, we did with the National Labor Relations Board. And like we talked last time, Sly, on May 13th of this year, Administrative Law Judge Michael Rosas decided in our favor that Sunbelt did in fact violate a bunch of federal labor laws based on the 1935 Wagner Act. And at that point, we did talk about that. We had to talk about that before. Since then, immediately after Sunbelt Sunbelt filed for an appeal. During the process, the labor board themselves realized that it was a pretty egregious different offenses that they've committed, and they filed their own 10J injunction, which is basically them filing their own unfair labor practice charges because they've seen, again, how egregious it was. And on August 7th of this year, 2020, federal judge Stottemuller ruled in favor of the injunction and, again, agreed with the union that the actions that Sunbelt took were unfair labor practices and illegal based on the order. And then, again, the Sunbelt right away asked for a stay of the order. Now, in layman's terms, a stay of the order is they're asking that this injunction that the judge ruled in favor of us would be on hold, basically, until they can decide on where the appeal is going to go at the administrative with the administrative judge. And so fortunately, on September 3rd of this year, Federal Judge Stottemuller denied Sunbelt's stay request and ordered them to a few things: bargain in good faith within 5 days, not less than 24 hours a month and 6 hours per session. He also ordered them to restore the bargaining unit as it existed on August 8th of 2019. He wanted them to read to the employees by a responsible management while in the presence of a board agent and serve the labor board with an affidavit showing that they complied with all these courts' decree. So at that point on September 8th, we started negotiating, and we had 3 6-hour sessions, and we had a tentative agreement on September 17th, and then officially on October 1st, it was signed on both sides, and we are now in the process of getting those mechanics at that facility signed into the union. And again, we are hoping to build on this partnership with Sunbelt and show them that it is beneficial for not only the workers, but for the company themselves to be a partner with Local 139.
All right, now this is a national or international company?
This is an international company. Well, let me back up. They're, I guess you could say they're international. They're owned, Sunbelt is owned by the Ashtead Group, who's based in London, England. So I guess you could say they're international. Their headquarters in the States is in Fort Hill, South Carolina.
Not a labor-friendly state.
No, no, by any means, no. Quite the opposite of labor-friendly, yes.
So they went to extraordinary lengths to try to stop 7 people from having union representation. What does that tell you?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate. Again, when we won 7-0, it was easy for them to figure out who were the union sympathizers, who liked the union, basically all of them. And again, they were really under a microscope, and they knew who pretty much was leading the charge within. And we even had, unfortunately, we had some support at the Sun Prairie shop right after the time that we won the election in March of 2018. And once they found out who the ringleader was in Sun Prairie, and unfortunately, he jumped on a piece of machine and moved it a couple little inches, and they caught him on camera, and right away they got rid of him. Now, we even have photographs and video of other individuals jumping on equipment that were not fired. They were not part of the bargaining unit yet. They fired this guy pretty much immediately because they knew he was the one trying to get them on board in Madison. And at that point, unfortunately, that thwarted all our efforts there. We had probably a little over half, probably about 60% of the support at that shop. And soon after that, it pretty much minimized to nothing, almost nothing. Because they scared the other people off. And, you know, that's the unfortunate thing that is out there, you know, the coercive intimidation and threats that Sunbelt was found guilty of in court, in a court of law and in a federal court of law. So it's just unfortunate the lengths, like you said, Sly, that these entities and companies will go through just to keep their employees from getting the way we look at it as a union, a fair fair wage and fair good living. You know, that's our job as a union, to bring up the standard of living. We're not asking them to for them to be millionaires. We just want those workers to be have a good living.
Well, not only that, what about their safety?
Well, and that's just it. You know, that's one thing that a lot of times, and it's good that you bring that up, Sly. A lot of times, you know, these employees just want to know about their wages and benefits, and those are the big key items. But not to mention the language that's in these contracts to protect these workers from certain situations and illegal actions that they could take otherwise. You know, bottom line, if you're not in a union, and why we stress it so much and why I'm so passionate about it is, you're an at-will employee. I mean, I could get rid of you just because I just don't care for the fact that you live in Madison or whatever it may be, and you're an at-will employee, and that's what not only does the wages and benefits take care of these workers to give them a better life, but that language protects them on all levels.
How does Wisconsin's unfortunate right-to-work law, which is really nothing to do with the right to work, how does it affect your effort to expand this?
You know, it's funny. So far, so good. The operating engineers, I think we don't even have any right-to-work members. But that law that was put in place, I think, back in 2015 by Governor Walker was a direct attack on unions. And what that has done is given workers the ability to say, hey, listen, I don't want to pay union dues. I don't want to pay initiation fee. And if that became a domino effect, obviously there's no money. You know, the union's a business, too. You know, we need to have run the business, and we need money coming in to support that business. And you hear that all the time. Well, it's a right-to-work state. I can do whatever I want. Well, no. A right-to-work state just means that you have the ability to not pay your union dues, any initiation fees, what have you, if you are a union member. And, unfortunately, there's a lot of non-union entities out there across the board that they always tout that and act like, oh, we could do whatever we want now. And sometimes they're very misled.
We'll talk more with Mike Irvin. He is actually an organizer with the Operating Engineers Local 139 in Wisconsin. We'll be right back at slysoffice.com.
Similar to a well-tuned automobile, a guitar requires the same level of attention to perform at its very best. No matter how expensive your guitar may be, we will treat you and your instrument with the utmost respect. Call 920-723-1733 or visit jeffsguitar.com. Jeff's Guitar Clinic in Fort Atkinson. We love guitars.
The attorneys at Gingras, Thompson, and Wachs have had the honor of receiving numerous awards for their work both in and outside the courtroom. But just as important as receiving accolades for being skilled attorneys, it's equally important to give back to the community in which they live and work. If you want a personal attorney that can help you in so many different areas, they've got them. They're in Eau Claire, Madison, Milwaukee, and Waukesha. They're easy to reach. GTWLawyers.com. That's GTWLawyers.com.
We're back at slysoffice.com, brought to you by our friends at Madison Computer Works, also Jeff's Guitar Clinic, and the law firm of Gingrich, Thompson, and Wachs. All right, joining us now again, Mike Irvin, who is an organizing fellow with the Operating Engineers Local 139 in Pewaukee. Actually, they have offices in Madison. They're all over the state. A great training facility in Coloma. They represent the people that build the roads and bridges and edifices like the Fiserv Forum and Kohl Center and all the, you see the cranes in the sky? That is the men and women of the Operating Engineers. Mike, let's talk a little bit about moving forward here. This is an incredible victory, and these people that stood strong are quite a testament to when people unite together and stand up, even when they get knocked down and are threatened, ultimately they prevail.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. I mean, that's the way it should be, right? You got to stand up to stuff like this if there's any unfair actions being taken on by any employers and stuff. And again, it's unfortunate that the union's always been touted as the bad guy and the thugs and all that. And, you know, the way I look at it is a union's job is, again, just to better people's lives. We didn't go in to Sunbelt when we negotiated asking for the world. We asked for some fair wages and fair benefits to take care of these people. And again, You know, one thing I do want to say before we get too far is I do want to say thank you and appreciate the fact that Sunbelt did negotiate in good faith this time around, and it was a very professional set of negotiations. It was very unlike the other times that we've negotiated, but we appreciate that. And again, our job is to show them that it's good to be with the local 139 operating engineers. We're going to try to better their, you know, their business.
Is this the first shop for Sunbelt that's organized in the country?
It is the first one in the state of Wisconsin.
Okay.
Sunbelt, if I'm not mistaken, is close to 60%, 50 to 60% unionized in the country. They are organized in Illinois, in the northern part of Illinois, the northern part of Indiana, Michigan, Ohio, Missouri, but it is the first shop in Wisconsin, and it's hopefully the first of many. We want to continue to expand and hopefully benefit the other workers at the other shops throughout the state. And honestly, Sly, not even just Sunbelt. It's not like it's only Sunbelt. Sunbelt's our only thing. We're aggressively going after that market. We want to get all the men and women that are working at these rental barns and these equipment shops, whether they be mechanics or drivers, we want to get them good representation that we offer with great benefits, too.
So how many more Sunbelt facilities are there in Wisconsin, and how many people you think overall, all over the state, you think are maybe ripe for the picking here?
Well, there's five, so there's a total of six general tool shops in the state of Wisconsin for Sunbelt, and those are like the bigger lifts and your loaders, skidsters, excavators, the bigger shops. There's, like I said, there's six of them. We got the Franksville shop unionized now. There are also some smaller HVAC shops. There's probably a handful of those throughout the state. And I tell you what, there's probably, we could easily, if you incorporate, you know, you have Ideal Rentals, Dawes Rentals, Fabic Rentals, Ahern Rentals, Herc Rentals, United Rentals. I mean, they're all over the state. It's safe to say that if we were ever eventually to organize the rest of them, and it's a long road ahead to do so, but we're ready. We're definitely ready to do that. It would be hundreds to probably 1,000-plus new members coming into our local, and it's something that Local 150, I'd say 20-plus years ago, started the same concept what we're doing now, and they called their efforts Operation Wrench a long time ago, and they've been very successful. And bottom line, the more you get, the stronger your market share is. Which the stronger the market share is, the stronger bargaining strength we'll have.
You know, it's not easy getting this done. Labor law in this country is stacked against workers. Unfortunately, we haven't passed the Employee Free Choice Act, card check, which mm-hmm. would have made it much easier. The NLRB yep. is not as labor-friendly as it used to be. Hopefully that will improve shortly. But it's yeah. still this is still an incredible feat because... you know, things are not, the playing field is not fair out there.
No, it's unfortunately not. You know, and Peter Robb, who's the general counsel for the National Labor Relations Board, hasn't done us any favors. I mean, he's been putting acts in place that it's just been out there to basically hurt unions. And one of them, more importantly, in the beginning of April, he put an act into the National Labor Relations Act that allowed for... So normally, after we win an election and we're certified, they have a year before they can decertify the union, right? So now he put in a place, it was in early April, that is an act that allows 45 days after certification for decertification. And that's horrible for unions. I mean, because what could happen is, so we win the election, they're certified, let's say today, you know, October 12th, they're certified today. They have 45 days from today to try to decertify. At that point, they go on the aggressive campaign to bribe or threaten or coerce these guys, and if they can get them within 45 days to decide to decertify us, we might not even ever get to the bargaining table. It took Sunbelt almost 60 days to get to the bargaining table. If this act that Peter Robb put in place was in place back then, we might not even be here right now, and that's just something that is really detrimental to unions and really unfortunate that they're putting that into play.
As you go and organize other facilities in the state, do you, with Sunbelt, do you have to go through all this again, or can you build off this platform?
We're hoping with Sunbelt, we're hoping to build on this platform and say, hey, listen, you know, we if we get another shop that has support, we win the election. Hopefully, we could just move forward and assume the same contract or whatnot. Hopefully, we don't have to go through this. This has been so many hours put into this across the board throughout Local 139 staff and even Local 139 members that were helping out in our bannering campaigns and stuff. It ain't going to be easy. I don't know what to expect going forward with Sunbelt, and I don't. We're not sure what to expect with other rental barns as well. Hopefully, I mean, the best thing we got going for us is we won on a regional level in court, and we also won on a federal level. So hopefully going forward, Sunbelt will want to continue to play nice like they have been, and hopefully all the other shops around the state will see that and decide, oh, look, we don't want to take a page out of Sunbelt's playbook because look what happened to them. Because I'm sure their legal team has spent hours and hours and hours and a lot of money just to keep a few guys, mechanics and drivers, away from having some good benefits and some good union language.
Is there a point in time where you can start helping the people that you are now representing increase their pay and benefits?
Yeah, the contract's a two-year contract. We were able to get them a 2.5% raise out of the gate for the first year and a 3% raise the second year, which is, you know, 3% is pretty good. If you're in the 2% to 3% raise, that's fairly good for wages. And we got their benefits upped. So we're hoping that they'll be happy about that. And honestly, this is just the start of something that we're going to build on. You know, again, more market share means more bargaining strength. So I kind of equate this as, you know, we're a rookie and we got our first base hit. Well, okay, that's great. You got your first base hit, but we got a long way to go. We got to hit 1,000 hits and 2,000 hits and 3,000 hits.
I'm old enough to remember Robin Yount getting his first hit.
Exactly. I was little, but I do remember those dimes.
He was a 19-year-old kid.
Yep. He originally started in the infield, I thought, and then
he was a shortstop. So, yeah, right.
Yep.
So let me ask you this: what's your pitch to Sunbelt on how this benefits them?
The best way it benefits them is the partnership, and right now, there's a Terry McGowan, our president business manager, sent our contractors a letter saying, "Hey, listen, we have reached an agreement with Sunbelt. We would like you to please consider patronizing their Franksville shop and growing their business at the Franksville shop so that Sunbelt can realize, hey, guess what? Being with the union will bring us more work, which will bring us more revenue, right? And that's something that we're pushing to our contractors. Please, you know, please patronize the Franksville shop and show them that their partnership with us is beneficial and it's going to grow their business. And again, we hope to continue to do that throughout the state with them and throughout the state with all other entities in that industry.
And you look at the polling, Americans like labor. They want workers to have representation. This is not an unpopular cause.
Absolutely. I don't know. You know, again, unfortunately, we got that mystique about us that we protect the lazy workers and we're thugs and all that stuff, but that's not the case.
Former Madison Mayor Paul Soglin, who was a friend of labor, always used to say, I'd rather work with a strong union that does a good job representing its workers because I'll end up with a better product. So
and that's just it. There's been statistics across the board. One that just came out not too long ago, Sly, that you're probably aware of, that shows after the repeal of prevailing wage in the state of Wisconsin, that you know, mostly the Republicans, but those on that side, said it's going to save the state a bunch of money because it's going to be cheaper. We can get cheaper help and whatnot. They've found that it has saved no money. And the reason being is this, because if you go back to 2014, we had some statistics that we teach in our labor history class at the Operating Engineers Local, that in 2014 there was a statistic that came out that showed what it cost to build a mile of construction, or excuse me, a mile of highway in construction. And they based it on all the different states, right? So if I recall, our state was, you know, man, $400,000 or $500,000. And we're, at the time, we're a prevailing rate state, you know, with union benefits carrying the load. Now, one in particular that comes to mind was Tennessee, which was a predominantly non-union state without prevailing wage. It costed them, I think it was $3.4 million to build a one-mile road of everything that's entailed, you know, all the lighting and the digging and the pouring and everything entailed. It was $3.4 million to build that highway. Now you're asking yourself, well, our wages are much higher than theirs. How is that possible? That doesn't make out to be easy math, right? The way it works is because we're more skilled, we're more trained, more efficient. Bottom line, my father always told me, and I didn't understand it as a kid, but as I got older, I learned, you get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. Sometimes when you pay a little more, it's not a bad thing. You're basically getting more money for your, or more work for your money. And that's the thing that everyone's got to realize, that we train and spend over $6 million a year at our training center in Coloma to better our members, make them more safe, more proficient, more productive, which in turn saves the taxpayers money.
Well, not to mention, with prevailing wage, you've got more money going back into the local economy. When people have decent wages, they're able to, you know, go out to dinner and spend a little, you know, go to the hardware store and spend a little money in their community. So that money gets reinvested back into the state.
You know, and not to mention one thing. So let's say, and we've seen this, they've been bringing on other entities from out of the state.
Right.
Well, guess what? Those people aren't paying taxes to our state.
Right.
So, I mean, I'm not an economist, but I think I'm smart enough to figure out, hey, if you got people working from out of state, their money's going back to their home state for taxes. So now we're losing tax revenue in our own state, and we're not even keeping our own people in the state working, like you said, to be able to go out to the restaurants and, hey, you know what, I got some extra money. I'm going to put that addition on my house, or I'm going to build that deck or re-pour my concrete in my driveway. It's not, I don't know why it's so hard for certain people to figure out, but unfortunately it is.
Well, a lot of people are very short-sighted. Let me ask you this before we go. If somebody who hears this podcast knows somebody that works at one of these rental places, or somebody that works at one of these rental places is listening, how do they go about contacting you and organizing their shop?
They can get on our website, or they could call the Pewaukee office. They can call any office, and they can reach out to me. And we have organizers. We have four organizers throughout the state that I work with, along with our agents. And we're here to help. I mean, a lot of times, you know, there's guys, oh, you know, they get nervous. I can't talk to you. I'm going to get fired. No, you're federally protected under the Section 7 rights, under the National Labor Relations Act, also known as the Wagner Act. You can talk to me, and you can try to form a union at your place of employment if you so choose. And you have protected rights. And I would just, you know, ask anyone who's interested, please get in touch with us via, if you go on our website, you can email me, you can call the office, and they can put you through to me. We're here to help. And that's, you know, as a person, I love helping people. And now I feel like I got one of the best jobs in the world. As an organizing director for this union, I get to work for a great organization and better people's lives. I mean, how, you know, I joke with my wife and I said, you know, if I'm sleeping and this is all a dream, please don't pinch me and wake me up, because this is, it's just a great thing to be able to do this. I'm so honored to be able to do this, and I'm very honored to work for this organization that's top notch.
Mike Irvin, Operating Engineers Organizer, congratulations, and thanks for coming on Sly's Office.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Sly's Office.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.